Welcome to the Christopher Peter Review, your source of common sense commentary on salient current events. At the beginning of every movie that you see at an AMC theater, you experience a commercial featuring actress Nicole Kidman speaking about the magic of the movie theater experience. She goes on about the creative and imagination there is with movies, and ends with the powerful line that in here it is magical, or something like that. There is a difference in watching some movies on the big screen compared to your home television, regardless of how big your television is. For instance, I regretted not watching Top Gun Maverick in theaters, because I could only imagine how much better some of the featured scenes would be on an IMAX screen than my screen at home. Full disclosure, I am an A-list member of AMC, which really pays for itself when you watch two movies a month. If you enjoy movies or just need to pass time rather than sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic, the plan is a really good deal. Why do we like movies? They are not real life. Even the biopics, autobiographical films, and documentaries still have some level of artistic license and editing in favor of the writer's default positions. So why do we spend so much time watching people's stories on the big screen or the home screen, when we could just people watch to experience real-life watered-down drama? Part of it is tradition. People throughout history like movies or storytelling for entertainment, even before movies in the modern form existed. Consider how many people still flock to see live shows on Broadway in New York City or at their local theater. Entertainment value is extremely important to any society, especially in America. From a historical perspective, entertainment was very important. Movies were not around throughout the annals of history, but large gatherings to see live events were common throughout. From the Romans holding games to celebrate conquests, changes in leadership, and other significant moments, to the creation of the Olympics in ancient Greece, people come together to experience something deemed to be great entertainment. Another aspect is that movies can be inspirational in addition to being informational to a degree. I think movies give us a glimpse of what could be, even if it is not at all possible. For instance, I recently watched Twisters, where the theory of disrupting a tornado to save lives was raised. In reality, the ability to have the needed material in the right place and actually have the opportunity to deploy it is unrealistic. But something that is interesting to think about if you are concerned over the plight faced by those in Tornado Alley or parts of the country that may have rare but impactful occurrences. I'm not sure if I would have signed up for a meteorology course during college if the original Twister movie with Helen Hunt and Dennis Quaid did not spark up my interest in tornadoes. Coming from an area that rarely experiences tornadoes, I recall being interested in them when I saw one of the rare occurrences, way far off from impacting me or my family. But just the brief sight is something I will always remember. This was not a course I really needed, but one I learned a great deal in and glad I took it. Back to the main topic, I think movies connect us to our need for collegial entertainment and inspiration. How many speeches, homilies, sermons, and conversations would be impacted if no movies were available? The scripted word is impactful, but can be troublesome if the messaging, direct or subliminal, is not serving the public's best interests. Movies are powerful. Movies are magical. But movies can be more than what meets the eye. The aspect of the industry I'm going to discuss is the distribution, which initially provides the final product to the end consumer. The movie theater? How well a movie does is largely dictated by how well the total gate at all the domestic and global theaters that show the film. Streaming views, televised ratings, and other factors may help make a movie a cult classic after the fact, but the biggest impact for all involved is the tickets sold. The movie theater industry is primarily dominated by three companies: AMC Theaters, Regal, and Cinemark, with AMC being the world leader by far. Globally, Cineworld in the United Kingdom is a major player in this space, who acquired Regal Theaters in 2018. But AMC is the clear-cut leader in the number of screens and theaters domestically and globally, so let us focus on them. The movie theater industry is still somewhat reeling from the after-effects of the pandemic. AMC has been able to attract more people back to the theaters with strategic marketing and a shift in the business approach, which I will discuss in a bit. But the number of people attending a movie showing is still far below the total from back in 2019. A reported 240 million people went to an AMC theater, 20 million more than 2023. In 2019, 356 million people experienced a movie in an AMC theater, a pretty significant gap in attendance. From a revenue perspective, AMC has experienced steady growth since the pandemic, but is still below the revenue amount they achieved in 2019. In 2019, they reportedly earned almost $5 billion in revenue. Last year, AMC brought in $4.8 billion, almost $1 billion more than in 2023. Despite experiencing similar steady growth, it is not back to pre-pandemic levels. Again, less people will naturally lead to lower revenues, even with higher prices and inflationary responses. As one could expect, the infrastructure of having the most theaters and the most screens in the world comes with a large financial requirement. Less attendance and the new business model can create challenges for the financial portfolio. Recently, I read about reports of the need for AMC to work to extend its debt and update how it manages its real estate differently. The debt situation was not really what made me interested in looking at AMC. The revenue changes, primarily how it would be impacted by the new model that AMC embraced that many big market players, were somewhat lukewarm too during its first iteration, the subscription service model. As stated earlier, I am an AMC A-List subscriber and have been for quite some time, and will be for the foreseeable future most likely. The program is quite convenient and pays for itself if you use it twice a month. The average movie will set you back $15 to $20 depending on your location, what film you are seeing, and when you see it. But the AMC program costs $25 plus tax and gives you the ability to see 3 movies per week. Now, AMC was not the originator of the model. There was a company called MoviePass that used to offer customers 1 free movie per day for a pretty low price. It still is in existence, but not in its original form. MoviePass did not last very long and was more popular than even it expected, which was a problem for it. The model is somewhat based on the gym membership structure. Have people sign up for something that they use for a while and eventually get bored of, but continue to pay for. Gyms are packed in the first quarter of the year, but are largely exclusive to the gym rats or daily users for the remaining quarters. Going to the gym is strenuous and hard work. Watching a movie is not. In order for the program to work for you, there is a need to be able to control the cost to ensure that either you can earn more monthly subscription revenue than what is paid for the movies, or that the combination of increased revenue from concessions and other revenue streams along with a subscription service can offset the cost. MoviePass did not have access to either concession or alternative revenue, nor do they really have a favorable price structure. AMC has the ability to negotiate with the suppliers, attract marketers to partner with, and accept the concession revenue, making them better suited for the program. The strategy was a good model to help facilitate the return to theaters following the pandemic, where people were wary of being in places for extended periods of time. Besides the 3 weekly movies, there are many perks that allow you to earn discounts on concessions, free stuff for your birthday and anniversary of membership. For people wary of the movie theater but wanting a return to normal, this reduced the cost of taking that chance. At first, I did question how well the subscription model would play in a normal environment, given the initial failure of MoviePass, but the added challenges of the pandemic, I thought it may not be as beneficial even if it brought people back. Now, back to the infrastructure aspect. I also thought about the operating cost of the individual theater. Now, the movies run whether the theater is completely packed or entirely empty. The machine will turn on and broadcast the movie. So, the operating cost of a theater location would probably remain unimpacted from the model. The question is how revenue is paid to corporate benefit to the local theater. I assume AMC Corporate credits the location based on scans. The concession revenue is earned at the individual location, so the concerns may be somewhat muted when you take a closer look. From my experience, I noticed there was an even greater focus on getting group experiences at AMC, even attempts to attract companies to use theaters for their corporate purposes. The risk and challenges I thought may be a problem appear to not be as big of a drag on the company as I expected. But the overall stagnant and declining economy, inflationary pressure, and other factors are weighing on the performance. The prolonged strike that reduced inventory did not help its recent performance, and potential for a hard landing may reduce the appetite for a family outing to anywhere. But a theater trip could be a good alternative to an amusement park for the budget-conscious shopper. Despite the challenges of the current moment, AMC does appear optimistic for the future. The industry does seem like it is overall healthy. Cinemark was profitable last year along with AMC. Cineworld is emerging out of bankruptcy with a plan to invest in its theater quality. And there are going to be many big box office films that will come out in the next year that probably would have been released sooner if not for the strike. Again, movies can be a cheaper alternative for other forms of entertainment. And many movie buffs will continue to go to the theater regardless of the underlying economic conditions. If theaters can help viewers see value with additional perks or events, then there is a great chance that they will be able to weather the economic environment. People like to be entertained. There is a value in that. The movie experience is overall great, but there is room for improvement, as much of the infrastructure in place is in need of an overhaul, which is something that Cineworld's Regal chain realized is essential to allowing the chain to compete with AMC and Cinemark. Let us start with the low-hanging fruit. The condition of the theaters? Personally, I think we can all agree that theaters with reclining seats are more desirable than the stadium push-down seats that used to be the prevalent choice of movie theaters. More comfortable feel for viewing movies, especially ones that are over 2 full hours, not including the 20 minutes of previews and 5 minutes of ads. As they continue to utilize different real estate investment strategies, they may want to consider renovations projects for their older locations to bring them closer to what the modern viewer expects to be the standard, not the exception. Food service, reclining seats, clean facilities, and the smell of popcorn, butter, and hot dogs, rather than stale air, mold, and humidity. Consistency in locations is also important. For instance, there are 2 locations near each other in Westbury, New York. One is located inside the Roosevelt Fields Mall, and another is not that far down at the other side of the shopping district. The mall location has a few less theaters, but far more popular because of the comforts and access to the high-end mall. While I do appreciate the style of the AMC Raceway Theater, I never preferred it over the more comfortable mall location. For my group, it was simply the location of last resort, but a simple upgrade of seats would make this a more preferable spot for many. The ample close parking would be a draw for many of the locals who do not like having to go into the mall complex for the more comfortable experience. I could only imagine how many other locations throughout the nation where upgrades and repairs are needed. The location in Cherry Hill, New Jersey could use a refresh. Still, a relatively popular location from my experience, but a simple replacement of seats and maybe carpet, and you could completely enhance the experience for that location, even if you kept everything else exactly the same. As the nation seems poised for a recession, AMC and others may need to think of how they can create value, like better promotions of their typical slow days to draw people in. Maybe more points for consecutive weeks of patronage. In moments of economic uncertainty, people tend to pay greater attention to their wallets. If they feel like there is value, then it may help them to reconsider what spend they cut out. The movie industry is not inelastic, and it has competition from streaming services and other forms of entertainment that may keep people away from theaters that may not be appealing on the eyes, nose, and any other sense. Why leave the comforts of your couch during tough economic times, when one can turn on Netflix, Disney+, Hulu, and so many others? Better facilities, more savings, that is a good recipe for surviving what may lie ahead.